Did you know that it's possible to raise your littles to want to listen to you without the use of consequences, rewards, and bribes? Hi, I'm Kaylee Zier, and this is the Chaos to Connected podcast, where we discuss simple yet effective parenting strategies to manage those pesky behaviors we go to bed at night hoping will be gone tomorrow. We're going to stand up to societal norms of disconnection, shaming, and punishments so we can take a deeper look into our child's heart. It's there you'll find connection, and there where you'll find more peace, obedience, respect, and joy. So what are you waiting for? We know those behaviors aren't going to go away on their own. Let's dive in. Hey there, and welcome to the Chaos to Connected podcast. I am so glad that you are joining me. If it is your first time listening, welcome. You can expect to hear ways to help connect with your child, and not just in the way that you might think, but in those deep-rooted ways that will allow you to foster emotional wellness with your child as he or she grows. And if you didn't already know, I think one of the big concerns nowadays with kind of everything that's gone on is just the mental health issues have skyrocketed. And the thing is that parents play a large role in those foundational emotional wellness for their kids. And that comes through being able to manage your own triggers and coming to behavior with calm and understanding and empathy. And that is something else that we really talk about here because it's important and it's hard. And if you're like me, you had no idea before you started kind of diving into this realm. And honestly, I think in my opinion, learning to come with more control to your child's behaviors is one of the most important things when it comes to raising our kids. And it can also be one of the hardest. So we talk a lot about that and just different perspective shifts. So I want you to be able to kind of adjust your lens in a way that will help you better understand your child, but that also impacts your other daily relationships as well. This work will certainly help with your, you know, with your relationship with your kids, with behavior, but it will also expand and ripple out to all different settings and relationships and just encounters with other people. If you've been here before, I'm grateful you've decided to spend some of your precious time with me again. As always, if anything resonates with you, I'd be so appreciative if you'd be willing to go and leave a rating and review. It's super easy. I honestly heard people say this all the time and I didn't realize how easy it was. All you have to do is scroll to the bottom of the show and it's right there for you on Apple Podcasts, on other places. Sorry, I don't know, but I'm sure you could Google it. This information was honestly really hard for me to find. I had to do a lot of research and I would just love for more parents and caregivers to have easier access to it because I think it is so important. So today I want to talk about a statement that may or not be painful for you when I say it. Are you ready? Here goes. You are more like your child than unlike him or her. And all the jaws drop until you think about it more and you realize that it's totally true. So today I want to share five ways that you are more like your child than you may realize, with a focus on behavior and emotions, because obviously that's what we do here. So, number one, when you're triggered, you respond automatically and in a way that is less than pleasurable. Let's be real. So for your child, it might look like the child's triggered and the response is screaming, hitting, throwing, running away and slamming the door, insulting you, just, you know, I'm sure you know. For you, it might look like yelling or shaming or lecturing or punishing or threatening to take things away and throw all their toys and, you know, that sort of thing. Number two, you struggle to apologize. Now, this might not be the case for you now, but I bet it was at some point. And if not, good for you. And maybe it's not difficult to apologize when you know that you've wronged your child, but maybe it is with your spouse or a family member. I know this was a challenge for me. I had like this sense that I should say something or apologize. And it was like literally like my lips were zipped shut. And it was just so hard to like force it out. It was like trying to come out and then it wouldn't. This is one of the reasons that I do actually require my kids to apologize, which is kind of probably unlike some other connection focused parent coaches, but I think my kids need to not only recognize when they've done something wrong, even if it's unintentional, but actually act on it and repair the relationship. And because that can be challenging for us, right? Like in an apology, we're admitting we did something wrong and our flesh doesn't necessarily want to do that. And so I think the more practice they get, the better. And I have honestly noticed more spontaneous apologizing when I have implemented this, I don't want to say forced apology, but more like a training in how to apologize than if I'm just modeling. When I was just modeling and apologizing to my own kids for, like, if I lost my cool or something, I honestly didn't really see much carryover. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt, however you want to go with it. If you want to dive deeper into that, I actually do have an episode on it. I will link it in the show notes because I didn't write that down. I didn't think I was going to go into it, but there it is. Number three, you want to be heard and supported, not always fixed. So I think this one's obvious, but this one really came to mind because earlier, or maybe it was the end of last week or something, I can't remember, but I saw, you know, an influencer that I follow sharing her struggles these days. And one of them is that she doesn't feel like she can share things without somebody trying to fix it. And when people are trying to fix it, you know, they're not doing it in like a rude way. Like they just obviously want to help. And I think so often that's how we approach our kids' behavior. And we don't necessarily recognize that's what we're doing. You know, when you're going to your child who's crying and you're saying, it's okay, it's okay. Or maybe you're trying to distract them from crying. This often happens when, you know, you're trying to leave, or like as a family or as parent and child, or you're leaving your child at daycare or at school and they don't want to be left there, or you're trying to problem solve something. All of these things are really teaching your child that you aren't okay with those feelings and emotions, and that like we need to figure out a way away from them. And I think a lot of times we don't realize it because we just want them to feel better, right? But it's really, really important that we can sit in the discomfort of them feeling uncomfortable. Obviously, as long as they're safe and stuff, I mean, it's a good practice. I also think it's good practice for as your child gets older and the issues become, you know, just more like right now in the little kid years, like, you know, the hurt is my brother took my toy or I fell down. And, you know, in teenage years, there's obviously a lot more tied to it. And so I think now is a great time to practice just supporting your child and not always having to fix the problem. It's okay for them to have feelings, and we want to make sure that we're clearly communicating that, because if you've ever felt like you were trying to share something with someone and they're just trying to fix it, you know, it can sting a little bit, or like, I just want to have these feelings. For example, particularly for me, you know, my third baby, I feel like she just really, really stretched me out and changed me in ways that I haven't been changed before. And, you know, when you say something like that to people, or like feel uncomfortable or less than pleased with how your body looks after having a baby, a lot of times the response is, well, you know, at least you had a really healthy baby, or you were able to carry a child. And while, yes, I'm really thankful for that, and I know that's not the case for everybody, I think that's also exactly what we do to our kids. Like, we are basically saying, well, this is a good thing, so kind of get over it. And I think we need to be able to sit in a place where, yes, I'm very thankful, but I can also kind of essentially grieve what once was, you know? And so we need to leave space for that. Number four, you struggle when you are disconnected from your safe person, which is probably your spouse, if you're married, a friend, a family member, a coworker, etc. Have you ever noticed that when you and your spouse haven't seen each other as much, or are in like a really busy season with little kids, or you've had an argument, how your mood shifts? That's because when you're disconnected, your brain is designed to signal, and that comes out through behavior or shifts in mood and emotions, just like for your child. Number five, you have a meltdown over something small because it's not just about the one thing. So when you have something happen that bothers you, but you never process and release it, it becomes stuck in your body or your brain. When you do this repeatedly, as a large majority of us do, because again, we were conditioned not to have these feelings, often by well-meaning parents, sometimes not, but often well-meaning. And eventually your brain can only hold on to so many things before it will force you to work through it. And this results in those moments where you just can't stop yourself from crying. Like you are trying so hard to keep it together. And then, you know, maybe your husband comes home and says, oh, how was your day? Or you meet up with a friend and you like weren't even planning to talk about it. And all of a sudden you just can't contain it anymore. That doesn't happen with a random person. You know, like you go to check out at Target and they're like, oh, how's your day? You're not going to just suddenly start crying. You know, you're containing that for somebody who's safe. But when you're feeling connected and safe and you have all those feelings at the surface, your brain's like, it's time. It's time to work through this. And that's the same thing that, you know, happens for our kids. It's not about that one thing, but it's about all these other things. It wasn't about giving your child the wrong cup, even though that's the one he asked for, or the fact that you cut the bread the wrong way, which like you can see that floating around social media all the time. It's not about those little things. It's because little by little things have been building up and it became too much. And your brain was like, we need to create space here. So I hope this is nice, short, and sweet. I hope that kind of gives you some perspective. I think a lot of times we can see ourselves as, you know, the parent, the authority, and our kids kind of separate, but we are, you know, built from the same cloth. Is that the saying? You know, our kids are just mini versions of us. And I think sometimes it would help us a lot more in the moment to think about ourselves in our child's position and how we would want to be responded to. And not just putting ourselves in our kids' shoes, but actually thinking about a situation in our adult life, because so many of them are relatable. Like we can just think about them with the relationships that we have and think about the response that we would want and try then to shift our perspective and respond to our child in that way, because it is going to build so much more of that emotional wellness, the resilience, the intelligence, the self-control. When we can be more controlled and responding to emotions in a healthier way. So if that's something you feel like you are struggling with, or you heard one of these things, you're like, ooh, yeah, that's something there that I need to work on, whether for yourself or, you know, as you go to your child's behavior, I would encourage you to just send me a message and I can either send you some different podcast episodes if there's something specific you're like, I really need to work on this. Or if you really want, like the time is now, I want to build these strategies and this foundation for as my child ages, because I don't want to get to the teenage years and have created this patterning for so long and now it's much harder to, you know, change. Kind of like when, you know, your child's developing, and if there's a delay, they always say the earlier you get started, the better, you know, the outcome, or the easier, maybe not the better the outcome, but the easier it's going to be to work through it, versus if they kind of get in this pattern for so long, then they have to unlearn and then learn. That's exactly what happens here. So if you're in a place where you feel like your child could benefit or you could benefit, I'm going to link to some different things in the show notes, whether you want to check out the masterclass I have, or you want to talk about, you know, more individualized coaching. I would love to talk about what that could look like for you. Jump on even like a discovery call if you just want to hear more about it and see if it's a good fit. And with that, I will talk to you next week. Real quick, before you go, if you felt encouraged and inspired by listening to this show, I'd love for you to leave a rating or review over at Apple Podcasts so we can spread the word to help other mamas feel less alone and find beauty in the behaviors. You can also take a screenshot of this episode, share it over on your Instagram stories, and tag me at Kaylee Jo Zier, and we'll all do a little happy dance together. I love nothing more than to cheer you on along this journey. This work is so hard, but don't forget, God has not only called you to it, but He has equipped you for it. Now go get connected. I'll see you next week.